When the Supreme Court heard arguments in two big cases this week, Solicitor General Elizabeth Prelager was one of many arguing in favour of affirmative action. She spoke about the importance of representation among people of different races and genders, and she gave an example from the court itself.
The court is going to hear from 27 advocates in this sitting of the oral argument calendar, and two are women, even though women today are 50% or more of law school graduates. And I think it would be reasonable for a woman to look at that and wonder, is that a path that's open to me, to be a Supreme Court advocate?
In addition to being male, people arguing in front of the Supreme Court are overwhelmingly white. That's according to a Washington Post analysis that we'll discuss with one of its authors, Toby Raji, with the Washington Post. Toby, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Toby, you and your colleague Theo Meyer reported this story, and you looked at cases argued before the Supreme Court since the start of the 2017 term. Tell us what you found in terms of who is arguing these cases.
So, although this is the most diverse Supreme Court ever, public confidence is at an all-time low, and the justices have come under fire for their recent rulings. And so we set out to explore if similar racial and gender progress had been made among the 374 lawyers who've appeared before them. And there hasn't been. It is overwhelmingly white and overwhelmingly male. Nearly 81% of the lawyers were white, and 62% were white men. And only 2% of the lawyers were black.
As you just mentioned, this is in contrast to the justices themselves. We have our first female black justice. There are two black justices on the court. Why are the lawyers arguing in front of the court so white and so many men?
We interviewed more than 50 people for this story, and they all pointed to diversity at the Supreme Court clerkships, which is a key prerequisite if you want to argue before the Supreme Court. They pointed to diversity at the Solicitor General's office, and then they've pointed to diversity at the law firms. And even the law firms that do have women and lawyers of color, oftentimes they don't give them a chance to argue.
And why is that?
So one of the reasons why is, and a really good example of this, is Paul Clement. He is a top lawyer, or he was a top lawyer, at Kirkland & Ellis. And that law firm argued 30 cases from 2017 until now in front of the Supreme Court. And of those 30 cases, Paul Clement argued all but six. And just two were argued by women. And the people that we spoke to said that the clients are really interested in picking people who have argued before the Supreme Court multiple times. And so it kind of creates a self-fulfilling prophecy where the ones who are picked the most often are white male lawyers. And so the black lawyers or the Hispanic lawyers or even just women lawyers in general, oftentimes they are picked the least and then they don't get an opportunity to argue again and again and again.
Hmm. You spoke with Verna Williams, who's black. She argued a case before the Supreme Court in 1999, and she had a really interesting experience. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so she argued a Title IX case in 1999. She likened that experience to a sparring match, and she talked about just feeling like an outsider. And then when she returned to the court to watch another Title IX case be argued a week later, that lawyer, who was now known as Justice John Roberts, she said that he had a more friendly relationship with the justices. They weren't interrupting him as frequently. They told him to finish his thoughts. And she likened that experience to a pleasant conversation over a beer or a glass of wine.
And then she never went back to argue another case at the Supreme Court, right?
Right. She's currently the CEO of Equal Justice Works.
Do you think it impacts the cases in a way when the people arguing them are overwhelmingly male and white?
So almost everyone we spoke to brought up Thurgood Marshall. When he argued before the court during Brown versus Board of Education, he spoke about his experience during segregation. And the lawyers we spoke to said that was powerful because not only did he describe what segregation looked like, he described seeing it with his own eyes. And so oftentimes, a greater diversity of perspective and experience that is lost when you don't have a diverse group of lawyers informs how they present and frame arguments for the justices.
Toby Raji is with The Washington Post. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.